I've got the best news ever. I'm not impressive. I'm not strong. I have failed in many ways, but I am loved by the God of the universe. You are not strong. You're not impressive. Hopefully. But you are loved by the God of the universe. That's what John 3:16 is talking about. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. But there's a story behind this, so let's go back a layer. So a man named Nicodemus came to Jesus at night. He was one of the senators, and he was a Pharisee, so all his friends were anti-Jesus, so he sneaks to see Jesus at night. He doesn't want any of his mates to see him doing this. He's trying to get it through his brain, who this Jesus is, what he's about. And Jesus does this weird thing where he goes like, oh, let's think about your Sunday school. Remember that story about Moses, the story is from Numbers. And what happened was the Israelites were slaves in Egypt, and they prayed to God. God did the 10 plagues, the 10 miracles, the 10 attacks that forced the Egyptians to let them go. Awesome. Now once they're gone and they're out in the wilderness, they start going like, wasn't the meat better in Egypt than it is here? Have you just brought us out here to go on a diet, to starve us to death? We are quite capable of that, aren't we? Like, we've been wishing there was rain for how long? 9 months or so? It would have been easy for that little sweet spot to be gone and us be complaining about rain too, right? It's just... We're ambidextrous. We can complain on both sides. Too little, too much. Of everything. Too little, too much. That's us. We are great complainers. And so they're attacking God. They are attacking Moses, threatening Moses, actually. And so God sends poisonous snakes. He's had a gut full. He sends poisonous snakes. And they go, whoops, we've crossed the line. So they ask Moses to pray for them. And interestingly, God does not take the snakes away. Instead, he gives them the antidote, the antivenom. God didn't say, only the good people will live and those complainers, the worst complainers, they won't. Or only those who give lots of money. Or no, all people, all of them. This antidote was for everyone. All you had to do was look and believe. Now, this is a mixed mob. They were not all technically Jewish. Some Egyptian people went, I like this God, and came along with them. And some probably African slaves and people like that were escaping too. So it was very much a mixed mob. But it wasn't just for one kind of people. It was for all of them. All they needed to do was take an act of faith. Look at the snake. Okay, the deal is, oh yeah, there's the picture. The deal is, isn't it interesting that the Old Testament's already talking about the cross, even though we didn't notice it before. So this is the metal snake. Bronze is something, copper and something. You can imagine that people go like, I'm not going to look at a stupid snake. Like, what kind of superstition is this? You can just imagine the people. Or the super holy. Oh, this would be an act of idol worship. All those sort of funny things are going on. But God is giving them something to hold on to. This is the cross that they are given. They didn't have to look. They could shut their eyes. But family and friends were taking people who had been bitten and lifting them up and pointing their heads at the cross so they could be saved. So it was grace for sinners. All of them were sinners, as we are. So Jesus reminds Moses, reminds Nicodemus of this story that he heard in Sunday school, or actually it would have been called Sabbath school. That's where my best friend went. Just as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. So it was never really about the snake. It was always the prophecy about the Savior who would be lifted up on the cross. And when they crucified people, they did it on the ground. They nailed them to the crossbeam on the ground, lifted that crossbeam up and dropped it on the, what's that called, when you have the bit, the lock and key, now whatever, There's a when you're building, you know, and you're locking wood in, never mind. Anyway, they dropped it in on that. So they were actually lifted up, and they were meant to be high because they wanted the person who's being crucified to be visible above the crowd because they wanted to scare everybody. So, you know, this was the plan. This was Roman's plan. So in the same way that God didn't say only the innocent would live, it's those who have faith, those who accept it. And, you know, we might go like, my sins are, you know, little. What's the deal? You know, the occasional rushing between one church and a church service and another and pushing the speed limit or, you know, trying to get yourself out of tight spots and twisting the truth a bit. And we can go like, why doesn't he worry about the big sins, you know? Yeah, well, you know, sin is sin. It's not our sin that's a problem. Sin's just a symptom. It comes from our heart. That's that basic selfishness. That's why we would twist the truth a bit to get ourselves out of a tight spot because, well, we really care about us. That's the inner problem, isn't it? Sin's just a symptom of what's going on. If the problem was just that we're not good enough, well, then Jesus just sort of said, well, pull your boots up, you know, behave better. If we could do that, that'd be awesome. How many times have you turned over a new leaf? Only to turn it over again. How many times in Lent have I given things up and end up the next year giving the same thing up? Okay. So Jesus didn't come to be the model. Yes, as a saved person, he is our model, but not the model in order to get salvation. He didn't remove the punishment. Instead, he took the punishment for sin. In the same way that God hadn't removed the snakes, but made a way of salvation with the cross, so Jesus accepts our sin, takes our sin to the cross. I need the antidote, and he is the antidote. He is the antivenin. Jesus lifted up on the cross. By his stripes I am healed. So I'll give you a couple of Old Testament prophecies. By his stripes I am healed. That means when they hit him with a whip. The wages of sin is death, but Jesus dies in my place. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. So it's in the same way that they were lifting their relative's face up to look at the cross. That's our job, isn't it? Help pray for friends and relatives who aren't secure in Jesus yet, to pray to lift their heart, their face up that they might see God's love on the cross. God saves sinners. It's the only people who need saving, isn't it? It'd be pointless to say it's only good people. That's ridiculous. God saves sinners. That's Jesus' plan. And there's never, you know, how sometimes there can be shortages of venines and antivenines or blood supply or COVID injections. Well, there's never a shortage of Jesus' blood. There's never a shortage of Jesus' blood. The grace is unmeasurable, more than anyone could ever need. So the wages of sin is death, but Jesus has gone there for us. He was lifted up on the cross to take our sin and die for us. So the best news ever. I'm not impressive. I'm not strong. I've failed in so many ways, but I'm loved by the God of the universe. You're not strong. You may not be impressive. Stuff ups all over the place, but you are loved by the God of the universe. That's what John 3:16 is all about. God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds safe in Christ Jesus. Amen.